You can make great meals with whatever you have on hand. So I try not to be too prescriptive about specific ingredients. Hi, this is Play Me a Recipe. I'm Dawn Perry, coming to you from my kitchen in Malibu, California. Today we'll be making weeknight cassoulet, which is linked in the show notes and on food52.com. It's from my new book, Ready, Set, Cook. We'll be gathering ingredients, chopping, browning, sautéing, and broiling all in one skillet, and we'll be doing everything alongside each other. Feel free to pause or jump back using the podcast chapters if you need a little more time. Okay, so we're going to be making weeknight cassoulet, which is kind of a misnomer because real cassoulet takes like 3 days to make. You've got to confit duck, usually. You got to mail order your beans, but we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to use some really pantry-friendly ingredients to kind of get that same meaty, beany, toasted breadcrumb vibe in about 30 minutes. Okay, let's do it. So I'm going to preheat a medium skillet. This one is a 10-inch cast iron, my preferred. Let's go medium high. My instinct is always to just crank it as hot as I can, but then I forget and I burn everything. So medium high, 10-inch cast iron. And let's talk about the ingredients that we're gonna need. So we've got about a pound of mild Italian sausage. The packet I have here actually has 5 sausages and it's a little over a pound, but we're just gonna use them all. The recipe is very forgiving, so that's no big deal. 1 onion, I've got a yellow one here, but if you have red, that's fine. 1 stalk of celery, a couple of garlic cloves is what the recipe calls for. Mine are kind of puny, so I'm gonna use 1/3. I like garlic. Salt, pepper, a couple cans of white beans. I have Great Northern beans here, but you could use cannellini, and actually you can kind of use whatever bean you have. This recipe will work. Also, if you have beans that you've cooked from dried, feel free to use those as well with their bean liquid. And we're actually gonna use these beans undrained. We'll get to that later. Okay, let's get started. So first step is we're gonna brown our sausages. We've got the skillet preheating and I'm just gonna prick them all over to help release some of the fat. That is going to provide a little more unctuousness to saute our vegetables in. So I'm just using the tip of my knife to prick them, I don't know, 3 spots on one side, flip them, 3 spots on the other. And then my skillet is nice and hot at this moment. So it takes just 2 tablespoons of oil. I'm not going to measure. It's like twice around the pan. Again, we're going to render a decent amount of fat from the sausages, so don't worry about it, but enough to coat the bottom of the skillet nice and evenly. Give it a tilt to make sure it's covered, and let's add our sausages. Sometimes the sausages, especially if they've been packed, if they came in a package, they can be kind of square. If you care, just give them a little roll to encourage their roundness, and in they go. And they're pumping like as soon as they hit the hot fat, so that's awesome. And I'm just gonna use my inactive time while those are browning to chop the rest of my ingredients. So I've got my onion, garlic, and celery. Okay, let's chop. So the whole premise of my book is that you can make great meals with whatever you have on hand. So I try not to be too prescriptive about specific ingredients. That's why I said, you know, use whatever onion you have. If you had a couple of shallots laying around, you could use that. If you had a bunch of scallions, you could use that. Something in the allium family to get that base of flavor going is gonna do great in this recipe. So my skillet is kind of jumping and spitting at me, so I'm gonna grab my tongs, which might be in the dishwasher. And the tongs are your best tool for turning the sausages. We're just looking for a little browning on both sides. You know, sausages, we say all sides, but like that 3rd and 4th side is really hard to get brown. So do the best you can. If you want to use your tongs to kind of help stand them up on one side, that'll help. And yeah, medium high on my stove is like pretty hot. So I'm gonna turn it down just a little bit, just over medium, and let those do their thing. I'm gonna sweep my onion bits off of my board and give this onion a chop. I mean, you could slice it. You could throw it in a food processor, which is the thing that my mom might do. But don't worry too much. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be like a tidy dice. You just want to get it in roughly the same size pieces so it cooks evenly. There's one half. There's the other half. And anyone who's cooked with me, alongside me, or watched me do it knows I'm sort of obsessed with inactive time. And I'm always trying to figure out how to make dinner, or really like how to do anything, do the laundry, clean my house in as few moves as possible. So I love the idea that the sausage is browning while I'm doing the chopping. This is not a recipe that like you need to be super organized ahead of time to execute really well. So I got one stalk of celery. I just trimmed the butts and the little bit of a brown top. This one's kind of big, so I'm just gonna have it lengthwise and chop through it. Again, you know, you could slice it. Don't worry about it too much. Okay, let's check these sausages. They're looking very good and very brown. I am gonna try and stand a couple of these guys up on their dorsal to see if I can get a little more browning, but essentially we wanna brown these, help render some of the fat inside, and then we're gonna remove them from the skillet, slice them, and then return it to the skillet once the beans go in. So I'm just gonna grab a plate to put them on. Dinner plate, it's regular, and put that alone. So don't worry about cooking the sausages all the way through at this point. They are gonna have some extra time to finish cooking in the bean liquid when we add those. So I'm just gonna focus on getting some nice color on them and kind of improving their structural integrity so I can slice them. But like, if some of it crumbles, that's totally fine. If you wanted to remove your sausage from the casing beforehand, oh, that guy split. That's cool. That would work too. It might be a little bit faster. So you have a lot of options. Another thing I hope to encourage the book is just to like relax, make these recipes your own, whether it's via the ingredients that you have access to, or, you know, just skills and techniques that you're comfortable with. They're pretty, like I said, they're pretty forgiving. And I know that just about anybody can make these with a ton of success. So just peeling the skins off my garlic, the old smash and peel, and gonna give them a rough chop. No razor blade necessary. And that's gonna go in with my celery and onion. So just gonna scooch it all into one pile. And then I'm gonna transfer the sausages to this plate. Really nice, deeply browned, borderline too brown on this one. I've got a nice amount of fat in the pan. Again, I'm gonna turn my heat down just a tad because the stove is running hot. And now I'm gonna add my vegetables. Okay, in go the onions, celery, and garlic. I've got all that nice pork fat in the skillet. I'm just grabbing a wooden spoon to help give that a stir, to coat it in the fat. And I'm just gonna season it with a little salt and pepper. One reason I always keep sausages around, specifically Italian sausages, is they're pre-seasoned. So, like, I mean, you can eat them straight, obviously, but anything you add to them picks up their flavor. So browning them first, we release some of that delicious flavorful fat into the skillet, and that's gonna flavor the dish all the way through from the vegetables here, and when we add the beans, and it just, they're such a great shortcut. Anytime they're on sale, I buy them, I stick them in the freezer, so we always have that option. Sometimes if I have a head of fennel, you can add that at this point. Any other lingering vegetables, actually, this is a good place to use it. So if you have an extra half an onion, if you have, like, you could throw a carrot in there. I don't know, celery root, that feels random, but it's not something I always have, but it would be good here. So again, play around with it. Know that the recipe can take it. And playing with the vegetables is a good way to keep it fresh and make it feel a little bit different. and new every time you make it. So just giving this a stir, making sure they cook evenly. Now that there's sort of more stuff in the skillet, utilizing that fat, I'm gonna go ahead and turn my heat back up. It's getting a little quiet. Sometimes I talk about five senses cooking, and I'm always using my ears, my nose, my eyes. I'm like touching stuff. How many is that? That's four. What's the other one? Somebody drop it in the notes. So we're just gonna cook these until they're soft, stirring occasionally. This is another moment of inactive time. I am gonna crack open these two cans of beans, and I'll be back in just a few. And we're back. This is Play Me a Recipe. I'm Dawn Perry, and today we're making weeknight cassoulet. We're coming back as my vegetables are sauteing, and I'm gonna open these beans. As I mentioned earlier, if you have beans that you've cooked from dried around, amazing. You can absolutely use those in this recipe. I'm using two cans, 15 ounces each, of Great Northern beans, but you could use cannellini beans, you could use garbanzos, you can really use any kind of canned bean that you have around. And something that is, I don't know, maybe a little unusual, I feel like in my day it's, I don't know, not usual perhaps, but we're gonna use the bean liquid. I feel like a lot of recipes ask you to drain off the liquid that's in the can. I think some people think it can either taste metallic, it's too salty. I'm not really sure when that happened, but like, it's really flavorful. And I think it's another great shortcut and cuts back on a need for like stock or additional seasoning. So like when you're really just trying to get dinner done fast, easy, I'm all for it. So I've got my two cans of beans. My vegetables look great. They're starting to take on a little bit of color. They're soft, they smell delicious. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm going off script, I'm adding a bay leaf. So this is the kind of thing, I love to dig into the pantry and just like see what's going on. Especially if it's a dish that I've made several times. I think, how can I change this up? And bay, it is one of those flavors that once you get used to using it, you can start to recognize it. But I find, especially like in my early cooking days, it was one of those like, what is that flavor? So I tossed in a dried bay leaf. That's gonna perfume the rest of the dish. So in go the beans and their liquid. And I'm just giving everything a stir to make sure it's evenly incorporated. And then I'm gonna add 1 cup of water. That's the easiest route, obviously. Water is currently free. But if you had chicken or vegetable stock laying around, you could definitely use that in its place. We'll just add more flavor. But again, we're using the bean liquid, which is seasoned. That is, of course, unless you buy no salt added beans, totally fine, but you may need to season a little more aggressively at this stage. So I've got the two cans of beans with their liquid, onion, garlic, celery, I tossed in a bay leaf, and we're gonna bring it to a simmer. And while that's happening, I'm gonna slice these sausages. So these are the sausages I browned earlier. They rendered off their beautiful fat. That's what we cooked the vegetables in. They've also released a little more fat as they were resting on this plate. I'm just gonna pour that back into the skillet. No reason to waste it. I mean, traditional cassoulet is certainly not a light dish. I would say neither is this, but it's fall after all, and it's time to put on our winter weight. So I'm just gonna slice these sausages. These aren't quite cooked through, and like I said, that's fine. We're gonna toss them back into this simmering skillet of beans, and they'll be cooked through, tender, flavorful. It's a great way to use these. And the other great thing about sausage, or any cured meat for that matter, is a little goes a long way. So, you know, I had this pack of sausage, it had 5 in there, great. That's sort of the generous end, but like if you had 2 laying around, you could do the exact same thing with a little less sausage, a little less meat. You could use bacon in its place if you had like even deli salami, that could be cool. So anything that's gonna give you that flavorful fat, you could kind of riff on this recipe with. I'm gonna say, I did a very nice job browning these. They're nice and firm, but like I said, they're not all the way cooked through, so they're gonna be perfect. They're not gonna be overcooked. which is another thing that happens because I am easily distracted. There we go. Okay, we're gonna nestle these back in with the beans. Now, it's tight in there. If you have like a slightly larger skillet, you're gonna be fine. So I would say 10 inch, you can hear the sizzle of the overflow. I would say 10 is the smallest skillet I would use. 12 might be a little friendlier, but I do have that extra sausage. So we'll see, but I'm just kind of tucking it down into the beans as everything comes up to a simmer. Now, meanwhile, an ingredient I forgot to mention are the all-important breadcrumbs. So in the recipe, I mentioned you can use panko, coarse breadcrumbs if you have them around, or my personal favorite, cracker crumbs. So another great shortcut is using packaged goods. These are engineered to be delicious on their own. So anytime you add them to a dish, it just like adds flavor times five. So I'm using my beloved Ritz. They're buttery, they're tender, they're already golden brown. So it's like three cheats in one. What I should have done is just like crush these up in the sleeve. I forgot to do that. So I'm just gonna do it over my bowl here. But again, if you have panko, great. Any other kind of cracker will work. Pita chips, another good option. So anything crunchy, tender is gonna get the job done. And you need a cup. I don't know, I'm not measuring. So I've got this, let's say it's probably like a sleeve, one sleeve of Ritz or saltines. But that feels good. You can kind of eyeball it like, yeah, that feels like it's gonna cover my skillet. Again, as long as you have some crunch, it's gonna be great. Now my beans are simmering all around the edge. Again, I'm just gonna tuck the sausages in, spread things out, and it's already thickening. That bean water is starchy, so it's gonna thicken as it simmers. The sausages are gonna be perfectly cooked through. It's gonna be awesome. So I have my bowl full of cracker crumbs, and we're just gonna add a little bit of oil to help with browning. These cracker crumbs are gonna go on top, and a little bit of parsley for color, for freshness, and for flavor, obviously. So flat leaf parsley. If you have curly, that's fine. It's a third of a cup, so it's a decent amount. I'm trying to think if I would suggest other herbs in its place. I would say if you wanted to do something in the heartier herb family, like an oregano or a rosemary, I would dial that back maybe like a couple of tablespoons of one of those more assertive herbs in place of the parsley. But I think the parsley is really nice. It is for a dish that's, you know, on the heartier side. It freshens things up a bit. I'm chopping the leaves, but the stems as well. The stems, you know, if you've ever made stock from scratch, you'll often find they call for parsley stems because they're full of flavor. And again, we want to waste as little as possible. So my parsley goes into my cracker crumbs. We'll drizzle a little olive oil over top. And if you're using panko or homemade breadcrumbs, you may need to season these with salt and pepper. I'm actually gonna skip the salt because these crackers are pretty salty, but I will add a few grinds of pepper. And actually, I'm gonna go ahead and add some pepper to my skillet as well. I don't remember if I did that earlier. So black pepper, such a great staple. It adds heat, but it's also really floral. I mean, if you ever bite into a peppercorn that was like stuck in your teeth or something, it's got a ton of flavor. So whole black peppercorns, buy a grinder or buy them in the grinder. I know they sell those now. And it really will bring a ton of flavor to the most basic preparations. Okay, the skillet is rocking and rolling. It's a beautiful simmer. My parsley cracker crumbs are ready to go. So I'm going to turn off the heat and stir in a little vinegar. That acid's going to brighten up what is right now like a pretty thick and luxurious looking stew situation. So I need a tablespoon of white wine vinegar. So just gonna grab that. And see, this is perfect. So it looks like I don't have white wine vinegar. I have several other vinegars, and I am just gonna use red wine vinegar, back up with it. Most of the recipes in my book really work with whatever vinegar you have on hand. In this case, white wine, I guess, was my first choice. Champagne vinegar would be delicious. red wine vinegar is what I'm gonna use, and that will be just fine. I would say like a cider vinegar might be a little too tart. Balsamic will turn everything a darker brown, but if that's what you have, go ahead and use it. It's gonna be great. So just a tablespoon, and that's gonna balance out all the richness of the sausage, of the beans. Okay. It's a very full skillet. And now my cracker crumbs go on top. I am just gonna crank the broiler. I've got the rack in the top position. And we're just gonna broil it until these crackers are a little more golden, or if you're starting with panko, until they are like beautifully golden on their own. Watch carefully. Broilers can vary wildly in strength. So like set a timer or don't walk away from the stove for like a minute. Check it at another minute. You know how strong your broiler is and how your oven operates, but like, you know, keep an eye on it. But I'm gonna put the crackers right on top. And it's a generous amount. I mean, the whole deal with cassoulet is like some of the crummies sort of become one with the layers underneath, and then some are still kind of crispy on top. So that's kind of what we're going for here. I hear my broiler kicking on. Got a few stray crackers here. I'm gonna just crush them up and add them to the edge. Rinse that salt off my hands, and then carefully, regardless, but carefully, especially if your skillet is very full like mine is, and in fact, if yours is really full, you could put it on a rim baking sheet just to be extra safe, but I'm gonna slide this into the oven to broil. And I'm gonna set a timer for 2 minutes, and I'll see you back here then. Woo, nick of time. We've got a little bit of slightly darker crumbs. That's okay. I'm just gonna brush them off into the delicious sausagey bean business. But it really, I mean, like it thickened up beautifully. The crackers are golden. The parsley's still fresh and green because it was only under the broiler for a couple of minutes. And I'm gonna give it a taste. So I don't want anyone to know I did this. So I'm just gonna go inside and see how we did. This is a good bite. I've got sausage, I've got crackers, I've got beans. I've got aromatic vegetables. I'll meet you back here in 5 minutes once this is cool enough to taste. It's delicious. It's hearty. It's satisfying. I can taste the brightness of the vinegar, the low notes from the seared pork. And I don't know, that didn't take very long, did it? I've lost track of time, but it couldn't have been more than half an hour. It's a great way to use your favorite pantry staples, incorporate your other old favorites in new ways. But I hope you really love this weeknight cassoulet. Let me know how it went for you. Thanks for letting me play you a recipe today. You can find this and more in my new book, Ready, Set, Cook, and follow along for more antics at Dawn K. Perry on Instagram. Or if you like cookies, follow along at Super Kind Cookies. That's my new cookie company. You'll love them.